the great Kahan, Levi Hawkins.
Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. This morning, we're going to get right into the sermonette, so let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. And we'll be reading from verses 16 to 17. The title of the sermon is Believe the Prophets, Believe Yisrael Hawkins, and Get Ready to Come to Yahweh's House. So believe the prophets, believe Yisrael Hawkins, and get ready to come to Yahweh's house. And basically what we're going to be looking at is so many of the prophecies that are being fulfilled right now, that with that information in mind, especially for those who are learning about the house of Yahweh, now is the time to make the decision to come to the house of Yahweh. Because that opportunity that everyone has at this time, and it's a closing window, and we'll see why. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 16, reading from verses 16 to 17, and it states, 3 times a year all your males shall appear in front of Yahweh your father, the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they must not appear in front of Yahweh empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is capable of giving in proportion to the blessing Yahweh your Father has given you. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, reading verses 11 to 15. And here we see the command that is given by Yahweh to come to the house of Yahweh 3 times a year. Verse 11, then there will be a place Yahweh will choose to establish his name. And of course, this place is the house of Yahweh here at Abilene, Texas, that Yahweh has chosen to establish his name. And there you will bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice things you have vowed to Yahweh. And you shall rejoice in front of Yahweh, you and your wife, wives, your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, and the Levite who lives within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. Look down to verse 5. But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all of your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. There you must bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts. You have vowed to give your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There in front of Yahweh your Father, you and all your family shall eat, and you shall rejoice in all that you have put your hand to do, because Yahweh your Father has blessed you. You must not at all do as we are doing here this day, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. And to anyone who is listening to this sermon who has never been to the house of Yahweh, now's the time to plan, make preparations, contact the house of Yahweh, and come to the house of Yahweh. Be prepared to come to the upcoming feast. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. You shall love Yahweh your Father and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his laws always. Look at verse 12. It is a land Yahweh your Father cares for. The eyes of Yahweh your Father are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Look at a footnote 2, verse 11-12. Yahweh's sacred year begins on the first holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which comes in the first moon of Yahweh's sacred year, Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 16:1, and ends on the last great day at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh moon, Exodus 34, verse 22. But remember what we read here, the eyes of Yahweh your Father are always upon it. It is a land Yahweh your Father cares for. And this is talking about the house of Yahweh in these last days. It's talking about the place that Yahweh has chosen to establish his house. It is also talking about the place where we keep the feast 3 times a year. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and keep that in mind, what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 12, that Yahweh's eyes is upon this place and it's a land that he cares about. Deuteronomy 16, reading verses 13 to 15. You must observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice at your feast, you and your wife, wives, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless and the widows in your cities. 7 days you must keep a joyous feast to Yahweh your Father at the place he will choose. For Yahweh your Father will bless you in all your income and in all the work of your hands, so you will surely have joy. And that joy that Yahweh is speaking about is the joy of service and learning to serve, of which the only way that anyone can truly learn to serve Yahweh's way is by coming to the house of Yahweh. It's really impossible any other way unless you come to the house of Yahweh and partake of everything that the house of Yahweh has to offer. You really don't learn how to do it Yahweh's way. Now, you may have ideas on your own, but it still wouldn't be Yahweh's way until you come to the house of Yahweh and learn. Now, reading from page 26 of the Prophetic Word magazine, which is the August 2012, and this is under the section entitled Yahweh's Feast of Forever, and this is pretty much the last article in this Prophetic Word magazine. Pastor writes, this year, the Feast of Ingathering Tabernacles is tentatively scheduled to begin October 1st, 2012 at sunset and last 8 days through October 9th, 2012 at sunset. Make plans now to keep this appointment with Yahweh and his family at the place he chooses to place his name, the house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas. I know it's not too soon to make plans. I know today is only the 4th of August, and it is still 2 months away, but knowing how the world is going today and looking at what is already occurring, it is not too soon to make plans for this feast. Even for those of us who are here, it is not too soon for us to be planning for this upcoming feast. But make plans now, as Pastor said, make plans now to keep this appointment with Yahweh. Yahweh rewards are waiting for those who will overcome the wickedness of the religions that rule the governments at this time. Let's look at another section here. Pastor says, this is on page 27, the end is very near, as anyone can see who knows the prophecies and watches the world news. The nations are about to go into nuclear wars that will greatly depopulate the earth. Yahweh is your only protection, but he will only protect those who prove they belong to him. One of the ways that you prove that you belong to Yahweh is by keeping the Sabbaths and the feast days. You know, this shows that you have Yahweh's mark upon you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16 to 19 shows that Yahweh's set appointments are also his shadow of protection over those belonging to him in this coming nuclear holocaust. And we have read of those set appointments in Deuteronomy 16 and also Deuteronomy chapter 12. But remember Deuteronomy 11 verse 12, that this is a land that Yahweh cares about and his eyes are upon this place. But notice Pastor said the end is very near, as anyone who can see, who knows the prophecies and watches the world news. And this is really what I want to stress, is that the nearness of this end and the prophecies that we have been shown by the one sent that has been prophesied by the prophets of old. And as Yahshua said in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. We will start with verse 3. And keep these things in mind as why it is necessary right now to make plans to come to the house of Yahweh. As a matter of fact, those were some of the last words that Pastor ended his sermon with last week about making plans, making preparations to come to the house of Yahweh, because things can suddenly change at any given moment. And it's not us saying that. This is what the news is telling us. This is what is being shown in the news reports about how unstable things are. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Let's look at verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. So these are some of the things that Yahshua told us to look for, and these are some of the articles that are highlighted and brought forward by the house of Yahweh, showing that we are living in a time period known as the end, and many prophets spoke about this time period, and time wouldn't permit to go through every single prophecy, but just a few of them, or as a matter of fact, we're just going to focus on this one. But look down to verse 42. Therefore watch, for you do not know what hour your ruler will come. Look at verse 44. Therefore you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you are not expecting him. So there are two things that we are shown in both verses, 42 and 44. One is to watch, and one is to be ready. Now, Yisrael Hawkins, the one sent in these last days, he is the one that Yahweh has appointed to watch. He is also the one that Yahweh has appointed to get us ready for this time that is coming. You know, so this is not a job that has been given to anyone or to everyone, because only Yisrael Hawkins know what to look for. You know, so when Yahshua said to watch, he's the only one who really knows what to look for, and then he's the only one who knows what we need to do in order to get ready for what lies ahead. Now, this word watch, you know, and let's look at the definition of this word watch, and you'll see that really none of us measures up to this task of watching. This word watch, it means to watch. It means to give strict attention to, be cautious, active. It also means to take heed, lest through remission, which is a lack of diligence and zeal, and indolence, which is referring to slothfulness, some destructive calamity suddenly overtake one. So this is the job of someone who is watching, to give strict attention to be cautious, active. When you think about this, there's only one person who has been doing this since the beginning of the reestablishment of the house of Yahweh. It is Yisrael Hawkins. He is the only person who has been given strict attention to these prophecies, very cautious, very active. He definitely don't lack any diligence or zeal. For the 40-plus years that he has been preaching this message, you don't see him wavering in any way concerning these prophecies and his belief and his faith concerning what Yahweh shows him through the prophets. You don't see any of this. And he's definitely, absolutely not slothful by any measure, you know, by any standard. You know, just think about preparing a sermon every week, every single week, and then for the feast, you know, preparing sermons for 3-4 days. And there's really no telling how much sermons that he has prepared in advance. And he comes up here with this big, you know, sometimes these books with sermons that he still has to get to in order to teaching us. But he's very diligent concerning Yahweh's work. And also this word watch means to keep awake, that is watch, to keep awake, which is part of the definition of this word watch. So we are commanded to watch, and through the one whom Yahweh has sent, he has taught us of the things that we need to look for and to identify. And it's the same things that the prophets have spoken about. It's the same thing that Yahshua Messiah identified, which we see here in Matthew 24, verses 6 and verse 7, where he says, there will be famines, pestilences, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. Now, earthquakes is referring to disasters. And I know it says natural disasters in different places, but these disasters that mankind is suffering at this time is nothing but natural. These things have been brought on by the sins of mankind, as Isaiah 24 verses 5 to 6 shows. It's the breaking of the laws is causing these. Now, concerning earthquakes, there are many earthquakes that are taking place daily. And I'm just going to show something here, if I may. I'm going to zoom in a little bit. Now, basically, this is an earthquake app, and it shows you all the earthquakes that are occurring daily, every single day. And up to this time, we have had one, two, if I could get back here on the phone. But up to this time, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, about 16 earthquakes that have taken place within today and also a little bit of yesterday. But these are earthquakes that really don't make the news, but it's going on all over the world. So you have, let me just read the most recent one, which occurred 58 minutes ago, 3.7 at the Alaska Peninsula. Then you have 3.9 at Central Alaska, 3.1 Alaska Peninsula, 3.3 Southern Alaska, 4.0 Alaska Peninsula, then 5.0 east of the North Island of New Zealand, 5.3 Northern Sumatra, Indonesia. Then you had a 4.4 at the Java Sea. You had a 3.0 in Central California, 4.3 Dominican Republic, and so on and so forth. And it just, every single day, you see earthquakes in place after place. Every single day. You know, without fail, there's not a day that goes by without some earthquake taking, many earthquakes, as a matter of fact, because, as I said, by the time the day is over, this usually you'll have maybe, I would say, between 15 to 20 earthquakes that has taken place. So that's one of the things. Another thing that we are shown here to look for that is pointed out by Yahshua is the disease epidemics. Now, all of these articles have been taken within this past week, and time wouldn't permit me to really go through every single one of them. So we just look at some of the headlines and just a few of what has been taking place. But remember, all of this is just to confirm what the prophets have spoken, right? Because the prophets have prophesied about these things. Yahshua Messiah himself spoke about that in this time period, we are going to see these things. This is the message that is brought forward by the one whom Yahweh has sent, Yisrael Hawkins. This is what he teaches. So this is the reason why we need to get ready and to be prepared for what is going to be coming next. So this article was taken on August the 2nd. It's an Ebola outbreak suspected among Uganda prisoners. But for the past week, they've been talking about this outbreak of Ebola in Uganda. And it says that at least 16 people, this is from CNN, it says at least 16 people have died in the current outbreak. The five prisoners have been showing Ebola-like symptoms of vomiting, diarrhea, and fever, the doctor said. Further on, it says, now, when they found out that there were many people who were at a particular hospital, before they identified that what some of the people were suffering from was Ebola, and when they identified that it was Ebola, many patients fled from the hospital. You know, so usually they would tell you that the hospital is the place you should go to. When they found out that there was Ebola at this place, they fled, they ran away from the hospital. You know, so many, and you'll see why too, because there's no cure, there's no vaccine, there's nothing for Ebola that could help it. Once you get it, it's really a matter of containment and observation. And the only way they will know that whether you survive Ebola is they have to observe you for 21 days. So for 21 days, they'll have to put you in isolation. And if you don't die within 21 days, then basically you're okay. If you die within that 21 days, well, that's it. But many patients fled from the Kigali hospital when Ebola was confirmed, he said, and the hospital is struggling to respond to the call out to suspected cases. Right now, there's no treatment for Ebola, so the most effective measure we can take is to contain the spread of the disease. It says the deaths have stoked heightened fears about the spread of the virus. Highly infectious, often fatal agents spread through direct contact with bodily fluids. Symptoms include fever, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, headache, a measles-like rash, red eyes, and at times bleeding from body openings. What is important to note also in this particular article, it says that the Ebola virus was first detected in 1976, and then it gives some of the nations that it was first found in, of which they name a strain after each of the five nations. Another article talks about HIV is now an epidemic among blacks in the U.S. And remember, we are talking about disease epidemics, as Yahshua identified in Matthew 24, verse 7. And this is from RT, and this was published July 23rd. It says, at the current rate of HIV infection in the U.S., more than half of all young gay black men could be infected with the virus in the next 10 years. So you can see that it is a disease that affects the sodomites greatly. Gay and bisexual black men account for 1 in 4 new HIV infections in the U.S., even though they only make up 1 in 500 Americans overall. So you can see that the statistics are staggering. A gay black man has a 60% chance of being infected with the virus by age 40. A 60% chance of being infected by the virus by age 40. If the trend continues, more than 50% of all young black gay men will be infected with HIV in 10 years, claims Kenneth Mayer, medical researcher director at Boston's Fenway Health. He says, this is extremely concerning, he told USA Today. Here we are this far into the epidemic, and we have these rates. Further on in this article, it states, up to 44% of new infections, that is concerning HIV, occur in 12 major U.S. cities, including New York, Chicago, Washington, and Los Angeles, with HIV rates in these areas being highest among blacks, Hispanics, and gay and bisexual men. So this is what is going on. And of course, remember that these diseases is being caused by the practice of sin and not being obedient to the laws of Yahweh. Here's another article. It says, more cases of new swine flu virus. And this is August 3rd, and this was taken from NPR. It said, federal health officials Friday reported a jump in this summer in the case of people who have gotten infected with a new swine flu virus. 16 cases of the new H3N2 swine flu have been confirmed in the last week. So if you've been keeping up, you have the H1N1, and it just keeps multiplying in terms of the various strains, and which whether it's affecting a bird or it's affecting pigs. So 16 cases has been confirmed, including 12 in the last week alone, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. 10 of the last week's cases occurred in Ohio, while 2 others were in Indiana and Hawaii. And they're talking that most of the people who have been affected has been children who have been taken out to the fairs, to the agricultural fairs, and they've been coming in contact with the pigs that have these diseases. Of course, they said that they're not worried about it yet because it hasn't killed anyone. But if it mutates and changes, then they will become very, very worried about it. Now, this is a... Let's look at... Well, this, again, this is another one concerning the outbreak of Ebola. And let's look at the drought, because this is where we have the famines coming in. Just as Yahshua said... But this is concerning the drought and then, of course, the high temperatures that we have been having within the United States. But one of the things that I want to identify that this drought that we're experiencing right now is not only in the United States. This drought is taking place in many different parts of the world. And, of course, it's really something that is going to affect many, many nations. I'm just going to try and just read one of these articles here. For the space of time, but it shows that in India confirms drought as El Nino looms, and they have been suffering from drought. Russia and U.S. drought sparks fears on new food crisis. Russia is also going through a drought, and they're talking about the fall, the the falling of the export of wheat and different commodities, just as here in the United States, we know about the drought and the excessive heat that has been taking place, which, by the way, is shown in the scriptures. And you can make a note of Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 to 9, that talks about this scorching heat. Let's turn quickly to Revelation chapter 16. Because that has been prophesied to take place in this time period. And the drought is causing the death of the food crops. And the food crops is going to lead to famine. And they're saying that the price of food is going to rise by 4 to 5%. And that is for those who have the ability to get to the food. They're showing that many nations really don't have any capacity to deal with this drought. So they're showing that some nations only have like a 2-month supply purchase in advance of some of these commodities. But when there is none available, we are going to see riots just as we saw back in 2008. But in Revelation 16, verses 8 and 9, and it says, "The fourth Moloch poured out his bowl upon the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire." And this word scorch means to burn with heat, to scorch, to be tortured with intense heat. And of course, I'm sure many of us were tortured in this past week with the intense heat. But it is prophesied that this is what's going to take place in these last days. "And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of Yahweh, who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." So you're not seeing any repentance coming forth from the nations concerning what's going on with the food supply and the drought. As a matter of fact, you see the opposite in continuing in their sins. And for the last article, this is concerning the prophesied war. And if you look at Matthew 24, verse 29, really quickly, it says, "Immediately, but after the tribulation of those days, will the sun be darkened, and the moon will not give a light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." And we know that it will take the nuclear wars to bring about the darkening of the sun. And we know that right now, through prophecy, that this coming war is going to take place in and around the great river Euphrates. This is a war that can break out at any moment. And it's not us saying that. This is what the news media is saying. This is what is being reported in the news, that this war could break out at any given moment. And let me get down to where in particular. I have several articles on it, but this is from the New York Times, August 1st, 2012. And it says, "U.S. and Israel intensify talks on Iran options." And just recently, the Defense Secretary, Leon E. Panetta, was to Israel. And he said that under no circumstances are they going to allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon or a nuclear bomb. And they have said that very emphatically, and they're going to use all options, including military. And further on in this article, I'm going to skip a bunch of it here. But this is concerning one advisor. It says, "If I were an Iranian, I would be very fearful of the next 12 weeks," said Ephraim Halevi, a former chief of Israel's intelligence agency and national security advisor. He said he'd be very fearful of the next 12 weeks, beginning from the time that this article was published. Very fearful. And then in the Jerusalem Post, this is the defense, "Don't attack Iran now," warns ex-intel chief. And this was an IDF Major General, Aharon Zaevi Farkash. He fears an attack on Iran's nuclear weapons program may be imminent, but then he says it would be premature. And the article begins, "Major General Aharon is worried, so worried that he decided this week to break his long-standing silence on Iran and to share his concerns with the world." And this was on August 3rd. And it said, "What prompted Farkash to speak out this week? A concern that an Israeli attack against Iran's nuclear facilities could take place within the near future." And then he added that what he is reading and hearing, a decision, is not far off. So these are just some of the things that are shown in the news that has been prophesied by the prophets of old, that has been brought forward by the one sent, Yisrael Hawkins, to us. And he is telling us, get ready. Don't delay. Get ready. Be prepared. Be prepared to come to the house of Yahweh. Because this danger, these wars, they can break out at any time, any day. And we have to question ourselves and make sure that we are prepared for the fulfillment of these prophecies. So may Yahweh bless the understanding. I'll ask for everyone to please stand. And I'll turn the lectern over to the great Kohan, Zephaniah Hawkins.
Welcome, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have a bunch of stories that are showing, of course, the prophecies being fulfilled, including what the great Kohan was just mentioning. But it starts off with a press TV report about Russia sending its fleet of ships to the Mediterranean Sea. And they're saying that they don't really know what this is for. And Russia is saying it's just to evacuate people if war gets to that point on that that military base, that naval base on the TARDIS. But they're not really sure what Russia is going to do. And Russia is a chess player, so they're setting up so that they can defend that base or to get involved in this war, which is Damascus, remember, of Syria, is right on the great river Euphrates. And Tartus, which is where that base is, was a city favored by the Emperor Constantine because of its devotion to the cult of the Virgin Mary. And it was the first chapel to be dedicated to the Virgin Mary, supposedly in the 3rd century in Tartus. So that's an important Catholic location there. Now then also, there's a story about the UN non-binding resolution against Syria where they go into how the United States is really keeping a peaceful solution from going into that area and they're making sure that they get rid of Assad. And then there's quite a bit of information in that story. You've got to follow that one real closely. There's an expert who talks for about 4 minutes and he gives a tremendous amount of facts. And then there's a story about the U.S. being ready to attack Iran, and that Tom Donilon, who is a national security advisor to the president, went to Iran, to Israel, to tell them that the U.S. is ready for military action. And Tom Donilon is one of these people spoken about in Luke and Yochanan Mark 10:42. He's one of these background people that really runs things. And he's a high-ranking Catholic, and he attended the Catholic University of America. And you can look this up on Wikipedia. But it's a private university located in Washington, D.C., and it's called the Pontifical University of the Catholic Church in the United States, the only institution of higher education founded by the U.S. Catholic bishops. And there's a whole list of things that show this university's connection to the Catholic Church, including the fact that it was visited by both Pope John Paul II in 1979 and Pope Benedict in 2008. And then we have stories about the drought, including fish dying, and how it's going to cause the price of food to increase, all according to prophecy. Okay, let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Yisrael Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! You're looking great! Come on, let me hear you, come on! You may be seated. That's a wonderful way of letting Yahweh know that you believe him and you're understanding what's coming. This is beautiful. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You might take your book of Yahweh and get ready and turn over to Leviticus 18th chapter. Now, of course, they're getting ready for war, but the beautiful thing about this drought that we're facing that they're so concerned about right now is the fact that it's unlike any of the other droughts that we've ever had. This one is global. And, of course, this shows that the firmament is hurting all over, not just over Texas anymore, but throughout the entire world. That's what makes it different. Now, wherever the drought is, you can bet the bacteria that caused the raindrops to form and fall on the earth, if there's a drought, it means those bacteria are having trouble. They're in trouble. They can't do their job, as I explained last week. If the United States or the world had read and followed what Yahweh put out back in June of 2007 called The Real Cause of Global Warming, they could have repented and we could have started restoring the firmament instead of putting more destruction into it. Well, what we've done, we keep filling it not only with the viruses that cause this. It's more complicated than that. It's an easy thing to understand if the scientists would just read that article. And I've got more coming to explain it to where a child could understand it in writing. Coming behind this. We're preparing letters right now to make everyone in the world understand what they have done to cause the global warming, the droughts that we're now facing that is going to bring famine. But if you notice the Texas Co-op this month, they're pointing out all the things that go with this, calling it a domino effect. Now, one of the things is you're not going to have any electricity, they said, because the water not only in the lakes is diminishing, but the aquifers are almost dry. The underground rivers are diminishing, and of course with that now comes starvation, because you can't grow cattle without something to feed them, and if your pastures are dried up, which scripture says they're going to be. The pastures are dried up. The seeds, you put them in the ground, they rot. That's what your scriptures tells you is taking place at this time. That's what the farmers and ranchers know real well also. The local livestock auctioneer and owner, he's also in other business here in Abilene. But he's worried, and he said the only solution to this is the rain. And, of course, he's praying to God to send him a rain. Well, the problem is the gods can't make it rain. They cannot make it rain. But Yahweh wants the people to see also what they have done and what this is going to cause, what they're going to bring upon themselves, what they're already bringing, but it's going to get worse. Now, it could be that the firmament could somewhat adjust and start bringing a little rain, or it could be that it's too late now. And I'm thinking from the lineup of the wars that that Yahweh prophesies to go along with this, and the famine, we see the nations lining up for war right now. I mean, anyone would be a fool if they couldn't see what's going on in and around the great river Euphrates right now. The wars are lining up, the nuclear weapons, what they call the bunker buster bombs that can go through 25 feet of concrete. Can you imagine that? You're standing on concrete there. Imagine one piece of concrete 25 feet thick, and that bomb can go through it. And, of course, these are powerful, and the earth is going to reel to and fro, Yahweh says, from these powers that mankind is going to use with his little bit of knowledge, extra knowledge that Daniel said he would have in this time period, Daniel 12:4. He said the knowledge would be increased, and, of course, we've used that knowledge, the computer, to create nuclear bombs, nuclear missiles, to carry the bombs, planes to carry the bombs, underground, underwater drones. They may get an underground drone, no telling. May go through the earth, not a bit of telling. But they got them underwater and in the air, watching you everywhere you go, eyes everywhere. The beast is full of eyes, remember that. And it seems like the world is asleep to everything the Scripture says, and they just keep pushing to destroy what they've already got so sick it can't supply them anymore. And this is going on all over the world. But here in Leviticus now, in Genesis, we saw how Yahweh created the firmament. There's a lot on the firmament. And of course, the way it works is Yahweh created other planets, sun and moon, the sun itself to give light, but also to give the rays that grow the crops that keep you alive too. You couldn't live without it. If the sun is shut off, you'd die. But all life would die. But not only is the drought killing the fish, there's other causes there. That's a complicated thing too. And all the things that we have going up into the atmosphere, not only water vapors, gas vapors, if you've ever bought a bottle of, say, essential oils, and you've forgotten left the lid off of it, and you came back later and you wondered what in the world occurred to my oil as a brand new bottle. Well, it's in the firmament somewhere. It goes up. Now, the firmament takes up and away from mankind because it's made to protect mankind. So it takes everything up and away from mankind and keeps cleansing the air from the breath you breathe, because when you blow it out, when you blow the wind out that you sucked into your lungs, you put carbon dioxide into that breath of air that you took into your lungs. So when you put it out, you know, and the other person has to breathe just that, if you was locked up in a room together, the oxygen would soon disappear and you would be breathing yourself to death in just a little while. So the firmament is something that's cleansing the air all the time. It was made to do so, to cleanse the air that you breathe. Of course, it cleanses it from automobiles, from burning wood, from burning cow manure, from burning whatever. That's its job to do this. It's also the job of the firmament. This is the atmosphere, as some call it, that surrounds the earth. That's what the Scripture says, too. Long before the scientists knew anything about what surrounds the earth and how thick it was and so forth and what all is involved, the Scriptures actually would have told them that had they believed and studied the Scriptures. It's all there, and I'll show you in bits and pieces as we get to it. It's fantastic, all the things that Yahweh put in this firmament that He built for mankind to protect mankind. And of course, when we start putting other things into the firmament, then we get it to where it won't form raindrops, and there comes your drought. A lot of other things is taking place in the firmament too, from all kinds of other things that we're putting into it, including the drugs like the antibiotics, for instance. The antibiotics that are given to chickens through that people are eating throughout the earth. We may have to quit eating them. I don't know. The last time I heard, a chicken cost about $10 in the store now. You get two for 19 something, a few cents left. Yeah, you haven't bought chicken, have you? eating here where it's cheap. They haven't had sense enough to go up on the price yet. No, they're wanting to keep it low. But anyway, the price of chicken, but the drugs they give them to make them grow fast, to keep them from getting sick, those same drugs are going into the firmament now, we've found out. And though combined with the AIDS, the herpes, and everything else, of course, you've got a sickening mess for our firmament, this micro kingdom, to have to breathe. It's breathing what you're blowing out, but it's also breathing all the chemicals and drugs that we're putting into our water supplies and dispensing when it is dispensed. It all goes into the firmament, goes out, goes up and out, doing a filtering, cleansing process. Well, that's how the firmament works. Now, what is wrong right now in this area in Texas, what is causing the rain to be held back, is the micro kingdoms. They call them bacteria that form raindrops. Now, our scientists know this. They know that there's bacteria that causes raindrops to fall. Now, a toxicologist could tell you what makes that bacteria sick. So why don't they study this, and why don't they tell mankind it's your sins that's causing the bacteria that forms the raindrops to get sick? It's a virus. It's viruses. Mix the bacteria that causes raindrops to fall with herpes virus. Listen to what I'm saying. The bacteria that forms your raindrops, that gives you rain, water to drink, mix it with the viruses that you're causing from fornication, adultery, bestiality, and sodomy. And you will see that it destroys that bacteria. Well, of course, that's what we've done. We have mixed it in the firmament. And our firmament is sick. Now, that shouldn't be too hard for you to understand and understand the sin that's causing it. Sin. That's what your Bible says. Have you found Leviticus 18 yet? Leviticus 18. This is a very important subject. Now, you could go to hell and burn without knowing this easily. And you keep on with your foolishness and your foolish joking when you should be listening to this sermon closely, making notes on it, writing it down, studying it later, and that's what you're going to do. The world has ignored it for years, 6,000 years, and now it's too late to solve. And now we're facing starvation. We're facing a lack of rainfall that even a fool can understand, that the lakes are going dry, the streams are going dry. An underground water system is being depleted, totally depleted. There's nothing left to draw from. The huge, wonderful aquifer that we had in Texas that would have supplied the whole state of Texas through this whole thing, they've sucked it dry. They didn't even need to. We didn't need that land in the panhandle. We had plenty of other land that we could have used. Without even irrigation, we had enough land to have fed the world. But no, we wanted to sock the fertilizer to it, make it grow real fast, sell and put money in the bank for what? You can't eat the money. You can't eat the bank. Well, now the aquifer is dry. It's got a very little water, they said, as this story comes out in the Texas co-op. I don't know if you get that. It's free. It comes every month to the Taylor Electric people. Called Water, Water for All. Wake up, Texas. Wake up, everyone. Our water crisis demands action now. No, it demanded it years ago when I told you what was really causing the global warming. If you'd have stopped your sins then, if you'd have stopped putting AIDS and herpes into the atmosphere at that time, that would have helped some. It wouldn't have turned it around, but it would have helped. What makes this virus, this bacteria that causes the raindrops, What makes it sick? It's being raped right now. If you've ever seen the film, watching the action, that this woman, I don't even remember her name, but she's a woman scientist and a doctor, she showed what AIDS virus would do to any bacteria, anything, any cell it could get its teeth into, if you want to call it that, it rapes. The bacterial products, the antibiotics that were given the chickens, this is causing now, and they know this is causing, a mutation of these viruses and bacteria that we can't even deal with now. We don't have anything to kill it. But it's causing mutations. What is it doing in the atmosphere where we have micro kingdoms that we're dealing with there? It's doing the same thing. It's raping the bacteria that's causing your rain to fall. It's making it sick. If you had a hand chopped off and you're a carpenter, that would diminish your work somewhat, wouldn't it? You couldn't pick up a hammer and nail a nail into a board with a hammer, could you? That's the same thing we're doing to the bacteria that causes the raindrops to fall. In Leviticus 18, look at it. In your book of Yahweh, Leviticus 18 and verse 27. Yahweh showed us here, if you showed us in Genesis, the firmament years ago, years before this, before Leviticus was written. And then he gave his laws to a nation that didn't accept it. Now he's gathering from the bushes and the brush, bringing in the righteous and the unrighteous into his house. Those who are interested and those who are not interested into his house. Some of them will get through and be called up with the others. And the first thing, as Yeshua said, you'll be caught without this knowledge. Knowledge that makes righteousness. Obedience that brings righteousness. And he won't fool you with you then. He'll say, how did you get in here without this wedding garment? Then he'll tell the Malachim, bind them hand and foot. Bind them hand and foot and kick them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why would he do that? In Revelations, it tells you he's given you what you refused. And what you, in your refusal, you brought on other people. So he's given you your just reward. That's what's promised to you throughout the Holy Scripture. Now you have a chance to learn, be obedient, and help turn this thing around and be a teacher throughout all eternity to make sure it never occurs again. I hope you don't pass it up. Verse 27 of Leviticus 18 says, and all these abominations have the people of the land. You see that word land? You should underline it if you haven't already. Have the land done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Now, of course, any one of you should be able to tell what defiles land. What defile means. You should be able to tell what land means. I want to read you something. This comes from the word earth, the word earth in the Bible. The word earth that is written in the Holy Scriptures is translated from the Hebrew word aretz in Genesis, Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon by Edward Robinson, page 89, and 1083 shows this word means earth. It means heavens. It means the earth, the universe, the firmament. The word lamb that you see there in your scripture, verse 27, you should write the word firmament there. That word comes from Edward Robinson, page 89. It's a Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon. It means firmament. Now, if you'll look back to verse 27 again, you'll see and notice the word abomination. The people brought these abominations upon the universe, into the universe. Yes, the firmament. He's telling you this here. He told you this many, many years. This was 1490. This was written in 1490. Genesis, talking about the firmament, was 4004. So you can see here how many years they went, but also how many years before science ever found out that this was taking place. The first telescopes weren't invented till knowledge was increased. And then they weren't believed when they saw what they saw, because the Catholic Church said, no, the earth is flat. Well, here Yahweh says, these abominations of the people have defiled the firmament. Back in 1490, he was telling you this. Now, this is great knowledge, because Yahweh says to man, you're going to have to guard these laws. You're going to have to guard these things that I'm giving you, or you're going to wind up with drought, with famine, with bombs that is going to burn the earth, and few men left. That's what you're going to wind up with. In verse 25, he shows you some of the things that he's talking about here. The land is defiled. Therefore, I will punish the sin and the sinners. Those who don't care, who want to go on and fulfill their lust, who don't want to pay any attention to Yahweh's word. Now, take this in your thoughts if you don't believe the Holy Scriptures. How did this man who wrote this know this? What we're just now finding out today, through our powerful telescopes, our many thousands of years of schools of higher learning, and we're just now finding out that there's bacteria that cause our raindrops to fall. They knew it, and they knew what would cause this to deteriorate, and what it was deteriorating it back then, and warned them, I'm going to drive these nations out. Yes, you're going to take their place in all these nations. I'm going to give all these nations to you. And he did. A man could not write these things. Don't you understand? A man cannot write these things these thousands of years in advance. It took a brilliant mind to write these scriptures, to inspire these scriptures to be written, to tell you what is going to take place 6,000 years later. In verse 25, he says, the land is defiled, therefore I will punish the sin thereof upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. If you look to verse 30, he says, therefore you shall keep my ordinance, and this won't occur to you. Keep my ordinance and commit none of these abominable. That means, abominable means a sickness that you create in your own body that you can pass on to other people. You can pass it on to the earth you walk on, the waters you swim in, the air you breathe. You pass it on. When you breathe the air and you've got these things in you, then it goes into the firmament. The firmament is so jam-packed with viruses right now that it cannot do its job. It can't fight fast enough to cleanse the firmament anymore. And it's global. It's all around the earth now. And so is the drought. These abominable customs, well, we'll see what they were in just a moment, which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves. Notice, you defile yourselves with these viruses that you're breeding and blowing out into the firmament. Yourselves with them, I am Yahweh, your Father. Look back to verse 4 and 5. I'm going to let you read these for yourself, some of them. He says, you shall observe, verse 4, you shall observe and do my judgments and keep my ordinances, that is my laws, to walk in them. I am Yahweh. You must, therefore, keep my statutes, my judgments, which if a man does, he will live. Yes, you will live. You will be given eternal life if you will keep these. In verse 8, you read this for yourself. Read verse 8 for yourself. Are you reading it? Verse 8. Verse 8. Now read with this verse 20. Verse 20. Read all the way through to verse 23. Notice carefully verse 22. This right here is being pushed in all the world right now. And of course, it's multiplying. And along with it, the diseases that it causes is multiplying. And it's spreading into the environment or the firmament at this time. In verse 23. Verse 23. This is going on, it's being taught. Verse 22 and 23 is being taught on the television sets. I just found out this week, due to the thing that took place with the Chick-fil-A and this Muffin show, Muffet show, that is very popular, and they pulled, because of this statement that the man that owned Chick-fil-A and the contributions that he had made to get people off of sodomy, counseling that would actually turn them from sodomy. That was one thing that I thought the world would delight in, to know that you can be counseled and you can take that counseling and turn from these evil sins that the sodomites have brought forth, this profaneness to all the earth that is defiling the earth. Well, the Muffet Show, I don't remember the name of it, but because they wanted to push sodomy, they withdrew this show from support, and of course they had their Muffets on the Chick-fil-A dinners. And I guess nobody knew that they were teaching sodomy on the very dinners that they were. The man was saying that he didn't support that kind of thing, that he was supporting what Yahweh made and the way he made it. Well, if you notice, there was a lot of people, thousands, 500 and something thousand, I believe it was, that actually supported the way Yahweh made man and wife. There was only about 11,000 queers that came and voiced their opinion against it. In verse 23, we see the animals also, and of course all of these things are being taught and pushed. Evolution. When you find the teaching of evolution, or if you got books that children, you want your children to study, you need to be very careful with them, because they very solidly, like the Muffets show, they subtly, as Satan, they bring forth the Sodomites in their teachings. Now look at verse 24 and 25. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways that you just read here. You bring defilement to your bodies when you do these things, when you commit these sins. For this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. And the land is defiled. And remember, that means firmament. The land is defiled. Therefore, I will punish the sin. I'm going to let you suffer in your bodies what you're putting out to other people. That's what Yahweh said. In this way, you will learn the lesson. The people here today have the opportunity to set their lives in order and learn Yahweh's way and support it. And praise Yahweh. In verse 27 again now, for all these abominations have the people of the land done, who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Land, meaning firmament, is defiled. We have the sickness. In verse 30, he says, therefore you shall keep my ordinances and commit none of these abominable customs. Bring forth none of these sicknesses, is what he's saying. Keep my ordinances, and you won't be bringing forth these sicknesses that you can give to others, the land and the firmament, which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves with them. I am Yahweh. If you turn over to Revelations 18. Now, I've read this I don't know how many thousand times, but now maybe with what is taking place with the firmament being sick, the rain being cut off, which is definitely getting everyone's attention. That's on news worldwide. It's in Russia. It's in Israel. It's on press TV. Every foreign station you look at is talking about the big drought that is spreading throughout the world. The farmer's report showed a perfect map of this and showed how it had started in Texas, and then it keeps spreading north and east and west. And they're saying on the August precipitation report, clear through August, they're expecting a little bit of rain showers, maybe up to a half an inch in the east, and maybe up to a half an inch in the west, but they're not expecting much rain at all. Meanwhile, the people who produce the electricity, Texas Co-op, says if we don't get rain, you don't get electricity because it depends on the water. And the electricity that is generated must have water to cool the plants with. They haven't found any other way. I noticed since they took the electric plant out of Fort Phantom Lake, they destroyed it and removed it. The evaporation has slowed down to where, you know, it was using as much evaporation as the people were using water. So now it's slowed down, but the lake is still going down. I haven't been there in quite some time to see it, but I keep seeing the news, and it keeps getting lower every week. How long will it be? That's one of the main water supplies, and this is what the Texas Co-op is yelling about. They're saying, wake up. You've got to wake up. Wake up, he says. Texas, our water. Wake up, Texas. Our water crisis demands attention. The problem is they don't know what to do. Now, they're talking about building a bigger lake. What's the use building a bigger lake if you're going to kill our bacteria that would fill it up with water? How much sense does that make? Of course, you know, they don't have sense enough to know what they've done to cause this. They probably won't read the book even now, But if this lasts long enough, I think eventually they're going to read this information. Well, here in Revelations now, Revelations 18, if you look at verse 4, you'll see what he's speaking of here. He's speaking of the firmament. He says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people.'" Well, that's what I started years ago. When Yahweh first established the house of Yahweh, we started coming out of, from her, being separate from her. Notice why. "So that you will not partake of her sins." The sins we just read about. Leviticus 18, that's causing the firmament to rot away, to make the firmament sick where it can't do its job. It's like going to a hospital, you know? Well, the hospital's sick. Yes, of course, it's sick before you went there. So it can't do its job. Its job was to make you well. Now they give you a few more bacteria that makes you even sicker. That's what I'm being told. I'm not accusing you of that. I'm just being told that. I've read articles. "Come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins, and so that you do not receive of her plagues." Well, one of the plagues that we're suffering right now is we don't have any water. Soon we won't have electricity because electric plants are going to have to shut down. Now, if they have electricity, you can bet that the big cities are the ones that's going to demand what little they have. They're the ones that have the biggest votes. So they're the ones that they're going to cater to first. If there's any left, it will be spread out maybe out here a little, maybe 1 hour a day. That's the way they're doing it in the places where they're having blackouts right now. Those have just started, but they're going to get worse. If this drought gets worse, like it looks like it's going to, pretty soon the electric plants will shut down. And that's what this man is saying. And not just Texas. It's not just Texas. It's worldwide now. It's all over the globe, as I brought out last week. Now notice verse 5 carefully. Notice why and what's bringing the plagues, the curses. "For her sins have reached into. That word should have been into instead of unto. "Her sins have reached into the heavens." Into the heavens. Into, that word there is actually firmament. That you see there, the words have reached into the heavens. That is the firmament. As the experts say, the same thing that Yahweh made, showing in Genesis, the first chapter and verse on the fourth day of the week. Verse 6, "Render to her," render to you who don't want to follow these laws. This is what it's saying, to everyone who does not want to follow these laws. "I'm going to let you get a taste of what you're doing to the firmament that's out there to serve you." That's what he's saying. Is that just? He says, "Just as she rendered to you, render to her, just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double." We'll get deeper into that in just a moment. "You did not obey. If you had repented when I first wrote the article, the real cause of global warming, the firmament would have been able, probably by now, to have renewed itself and started bringing you some rain. But now the drought is reaching around the world. You have a chance to repent, but it's not going to be healed in let's be turning over to Matitya 20. No, let's go to, Matitya. Matitya 24. It's not going to be healed anyway soon. And plus, we're adding to that another fire, we see nuclear war coming and is prophesied, nuclear war. That one you won't live through, probably, unless you're standing in the house of Yahweh's soil that we're trying to clean up. Praise Yahweh. Okay, now, if you keep that in mind now, the firmament there, and it's reaching into the firmament. Her sins are reaching into the firmament. And look at Matthew 24 now in verse 3. The Savior here is speaking of the end. You see that? When will the end of these things be? The end of the ages. Now look on down to verse 7 and look at the last word on that. Let me read it. For nation will rise against nation. That's what we showed in the films here, rising every nation against nation. As you saw on the news, you see it every day now. Russia's sending more ships there. United States sending more ships. Britain, France, they're all sending more ships there. You know, it's obvious they're going to blow somebody out of the water. Well, of course, this is going to send more heat into the atmosphere, great heat. In fact, the burning that is talking about here, several of the prophets mentioned this. How would they know, how would the Savior even know that there's going to be nuclear bombs that could darken the sun? How did he know that? Surely even a dummy could see that a person cannot predict the future. And here, several thousand years in advance. Well, notice the famine here. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Famine is starvation. It comes from drought, from no food, a lack of food because of a lack of rainfall. In Revelation 6, we see the quartet. Hold your place there. No, we won't be going back to Matthew 24. Remember the word famine that he shows there in the end. And look now to Revelation, the 6th chapter. Revelation 6, and notice verse 7. He says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature, that is the voice of the quartet, saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him that sat upon it was Death, and Sheol the grave followed with him, and powers was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger. There's your famine again. The sword, that's war, and with famine, hunger, and with pestilence, that's the disease epidemics, the same under the authority of the beast of the earth. Under the authority of the beast. That's the four beasts, of course, that we see in Daniel that he prophesied for this time period. Now, keep that in mind right there and turn over. That was the quartet right there. And in the time of the quartet, now turn back over to Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24. The Savior said in Matthew now, 24, he said, in the end time, you're going to see this famine. Now here in Isaiah 24, we see that the earth is going to be almost totally emptied. And it's going to be upon the people as with the priest. Her, she, brought this to you. Let her experience double. And that's what it's going to come to. That's what we're seeing now. It's building. It's not getting better. It's building. The land, verse 3, will be utterly emptied, utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. This is what we're facing because of sin. The earth mourns, verse 4. We're causing the earth to mourn. And remember this word earth here now. It means the firmament too. The earth mourns. The firmament right now is mourning, wanting to do its job and can't. The earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth also is defiled. That is the reason it's mourning. That's the reason the firmament is mourning right now. The earth, the firmament is defiled. That's the reason for it. It's by the inhabitants of it. Because we're sending this stuff into the firmament that is killing, poisoning our firmament that was built, designed to take care of us. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Yahweh was begging his people, keep my laws, statutes, and judgment in chapter 18. So none of these things will come upon you. Don't defile the land like the nations that I'm driving out before you defile the land. Well, they're defiling it worse than ever. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth. Well, we see this. We see the curse spreading throughout the earth right now. Throughout, global. It's global. What we're suffering here, they're suffering on the other side of the world, at the bottom and the top. And it's going to get worse, not better. And we're planning yet a future nuclear war right in the midst of this thing where everyone is suffering. Do you see anybody wanting to help? No. They're cutting off the exports. They don't have enough for their own nations. And this is what everyone is reporting right now. The only thing that they have an oversupply on is the cattle market, which they're rushing in to get their cattle butchered because they're starving to death on the land that they have. There's no hay to be brought. They say, well, why don't you buy hay and feed the cows hay? Tell me where to find it, and I will. Last week, I had a man in Arkansas. I said, check on the hay there. Call the hotline there in your area and check on the hay. He called me back in a little while, and he said, there is no hay in Arkansas. That's what he was told. They gave him a line from Mississippi. Mississippi says, yes, we had abundance of rain. We had flooding. We got hay. $40 a bale. Wow, that's cheap, I said. He said, yeah. And the woman said, here's the problem. The truckers will charge you $3.75 a mile to bring it to you. I said, $40 a bale. Then $3.75 a mile, you add more than $2,000 to that load of hay of 38 bales. That's pretty easy to calculate. Can I take out a loan? Can I get it on the credit? No. Well, here's what the farmers are facing. So they're taking their cattle to the market, and they're flooding the market with them, with what few they have left. But that's about over now, because that's diminishing too. Because last year they did the same thing, so they don't have many cattle on the market right now. So they say, what's next? Well, the price of your beef is going up. Wow, what a surprise that is. Price of eggs going up. Two hens. The hens were selling two for $19 and something. That's almost $10 a piece for a chicken. And beef is going to get worse than that because there's not any. Pork will rise less because they're feeding the dead animals that die back to them. So I don't know if they're doing that or not. They used to. Because of this, because you have transgressed these laws that I told you in Leviticus 18 not to transgress, the curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. About 2 billion will be left. In verse 18, he says, he who flees from the noise of the fear will fall into the pit, and he who comes up from the midst of the pit will be caught in the snare. For the windows, you know, this is speaking of the firmament. This word right here, windows in heaven. Yes, this was one of the great surprising things that we're able to show, because Hiob talked about this too. And the pillars and the firmament, the pillars and the windows in the firmament. Yes, it's like a house that you can't see. But this is speaking of the firmament. The windows from on high, up in the sky, on the firmament, are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. It has foundations. The foundations, this is speaking of the firmament, and every authority knows this. Hiob was smarter. Hiob was much smarter because he was a priest of Yahweh, and he was much smarter than the scientists today. There's things he mentions in his book that puts the scientists to shame. Isaiah 2, windows in the firmament, they're just now finding that out. They're also finding out about these pillars and the foundation of the firmament. The earth is utterly broken down now because they're transgressing the laws. The earth is broken down. It's dissolved clean, dissolved, yes, with fervent heat, the apostle said. The earth is shaken exceedingly. I bet that wakes some people up. I bet you when these bunker busting bombs that they got goes off and the earth shakes, they're going to wonder, what in the world, why in the world did we allow this to take place? You know, and I wonder if they'll even question the sodomy, the bestiality, the fornication and adultery that's causing this whole thing, causing the confusion where they don't even have sense enough to not start a war that's going to do what they're told it's going to do right here. And before this ever came to pass, Leviticus was telling us, don't do this or this is going to come upon you. Well, here Isaiah is saying the same thing. Thousands of years later, and the earth will reel to and fro like a drunk and will sway like a hut. The transgressions in it will be heavy upon it. It will fall and not rise again. Well, that is what's prophesied. How did he know that there'd be bombs and sickness and disease that would cause that? The sins of the earth. I'm going to mark that right there because I see I've gone way over on the time. Then I'll finish this next week before we go into the other part here about deeper into the firmament and the droughts and the having a domino effect to the wars that are coming right now that are building. We had so much news this morning, we had to pick and choose what we were going to use. I had a sermon made out in the middle of the week for today. I canceled it, did another one yesterday, canceled that one this morning, did another one this morning, which I brought to you today because the news keeps piling in faster than we can take care of it, comparing the news with the prophecies. But it is coming fast now, and I'm glad I'm waiting for it to be over. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!